Hello and welcome to this special 50th episode of 10 Lessons It Took Me 50 Years to Learn. We're very excited to bring this to you today, and I am not going to take up any more of your time. I'm just going to pass over to the rest of my esteemed hosts so they can introduce themselves. And let's start with our newest host to 10 Lessons, Diana White.
Hello, everybody. I'm Diana White. I am the CEO of Chandler Innovations Incubator in Chandler, Arizona. I also have a myriad of other titles, but we'll save that for another day.
Great. My name is Siebe van der Zee. I have the easy name, and I'm involved in global executive search and performance coaching. Very happy to be part of this podcast. And obviously, as we talk, we'll find out more about each other.
My name is Jeffrey Wang, and I'm the founder of the Professional Development Forum. I'm very excited to be part of this team and certainly excited for what we're about to achieve together.
And I'm Robert Hothery. In a nutshell, I'm a father, a husband, a son, a brother. I've been a CEO. I've been a regional vice president. I'm a consultant. I'm a chair. I'm on a board of directors. Basically, I've done a lot of shit, and I'm still here. Well, one thing that we've all got in common is that we are all here to share what we have learned and to share our experiences with you. That's what this is all about. So welcome to our 50th episode, and thank you again for tuning in and being with us. I'd like to also quickly take this opportunity to acknowledge the rest of our team, Dr. Duff Watkins, who is also one of our hosts. Duff can't be with us today, but we've also like to thank the behind the scenes people, the people that actually helped make this all happen. Yi Wang, thank you, Yi. Ryder Antwi, thank you, Ryder, for everything you've done from the very beginning. And Joshua, I've got to get this right, Ntanu. Thank you, Joshua. Okay, so we've been doing this show now for 50 episodes, and you have loved it. You've written to us. You've told us stuff that you've enjoyed. You've told us stuff you haven't enjoyed. And we're going to share some of that with you today, and hopefully we want you to keep doing that. Let's start off with some comments we got. We had Steve Zylstra on as a guest, and John Coop wrote to us after we did that. Great interview. An amazing concept, interviewing smart business owners that have acquired more than knowledge. They've acquired wisdom. Thank you for sharing this wisdom with us. I just joined the Arizona Technology Council, and it's good to see that the top of this organization is passionate yet humble. And great questions, Siebe. John says you pose some great questions. I mean, that's great praise. And Steve was a great guest too. He had some great lessons. Here's one for you, Diana, from Sophia Lovazis. Thank you for sharing these life lessons. Very informative and allows me to self-reflect. This is on the episode that Siebe interviewed you for us, Diana. But that's an important point. What we do helps you think about how these lessons apply to you and helps you self-reflect. That's really what it's all about. We'll discuss these in a moment. I just want to share one or two others, if you don't mind, people, before we go on. We have Ralph Romulus Frondosa. This is on an episode that we did with Guillaume Lucci. True grassroots personal relationships. Hire the right people, and then you, as their manager, make them successful. This is golden wisdom, says Ralph. I agree. It is. Okay, this is a bit self-serving, but Grant Brown wrote a comment on our wisdom episode. I enjoyed this episode, a philosophical question to pose, and good points put forward by all speakers. But you, Robert Hothery, you, sir, are as wise as Yoda. Well, what can I say? What can I say? Yeah, there's a reason why I put this on here.
Very wise you are.
I won't do it. We have a few others. I'll get to them later, but one that I'll just throw to you, Diana, because we've discussed this and I just want to get your reaction on camera. Wanda Costin, great, thoughtful and encouraging advice. This is for your episode with Siebe. Tell us a bit about Wanda.
Oh my goodness. So everyone, Robert is trying to get me to run my eyeliner and cry. It will not happen. Dr. Costin, Dr. Costin is an amazing, amazing woman. And I met her when I was on the Northern Arizona University campus, and she became, I feel like, one of my greatest mentors. And one of the reasons why she was so pivotal for me is because she gave me the truth. And sometimes it wasn't in my favor, but it was what I needed to hear. And she was so wise and is so very practical and fun, and broke my heart when she took another position in Canada. That's not just a jaunt, right? No. You can't just pop over. But I was totally surprised that she had watched my podcast. And for someone that I think, she's a West Point graduate, she's an amazing woman. I think that she is what I aspire to be. And she's saying that she learned things from me. So yeah, you can't get any better than that.
But isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we're all about?
Absolutely. Mm.
So we have people who tune into this show who are themselves potential guests, but even they are learning something from us. And you've got to appreciate the fact that what we are doing is making the world a better place, lesson by lesson. So there's a comment here that we got from Moses Koyabi, and I love this because Moses made me actually go and Google what the hell this thing was, because I didn't understand his comment. So wisdom is like the baobab tree. No one individual can embrace it. Thank you for this session. I walk away a little wiser after touching your baobab tree. So originally I looked at it and I went, it's not something I would say. But when I checked out what the baobab tree is, and if you haven't, please go and have a look. It's one of the largest, it is the largest tree in the world. And as he says, no one individual can embrace it because there's no way you're going to get your arms around it. And Moses is spot on, because wisdom is like that. There is no all-encompassing wisdom, but there are little bits of wisdom, and you can only touch certain bits at a time, and that's what we're doing. So thank you, Moses. I really, really like this analogy. And we are now wiser for touching your baobab tree. That still doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound that right. Doesn't sound right.
But there you go. So any comments? Any comments on any of these so far?
What I love about these comments and these guests and the episodes that we've had is just how international our episodes are, in that, you know, there is so much different sources of wisdom that we're drawn from. I mean, from anything from Native American to, you know, Indian immigrants to America, or all the way across into Australia. And, you know, we certainly have that Dutch influence sprinkled throughout the episodes. Because of that, I now know what a baobab tree is, which I'll Google after this, mind you. So yes, definitely. I've just enjoyed the variety of cultures and how what that actually brought to this whole entire experience.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Siba?
Well, I what I find interesting as I learn more about our guests is that there is typically a second or a third story attached to these individuals. It's one thing to say he or she is successful in this particular industry or category. But then you learn, and that happens, I guess, to many people, not all, that they are also involved in other activities that are quite impressive. Could be helping people that are disadvantaged. It could be fundraising for a certain cause. But it's not typically the story that you hear about these individuals, but it's there. And so you learn more than, well, with all due respect, simply the lessons of wisdom, which is significant by itself. But then there is the additional story of the individual. And I can think of many people that we have had as a guest. There is a secondary and perhaps tertiary story attached to that individual. Yeah. Very powerful.
Yeah. Diana, what do you think of these comments?
I think the comments are amazing. I think that when you put something out there, whether, you know, it's a piece of yourself or you're the host and you're trying to bring forth the best wisdom possible. To get that feedback and those comments and questions shows the engagement in it. It almost as if you're having a conversation with another person and they talk back with you, you're being heard.
Yeah.
Well, we're having a conversation with the world and they're talking back to us and they're telling us that we hear you. I think that's amazing.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we're heard in over 60 countries around the world so far. It really is wonderful that we've got listeners in so many countries. And they're writing to us. I agree with you. I'll just read a few more of these. Susan Watts, hands down the best episode yet, and they're all outstanding. She's talking about the Vikas Tikku episode.
Yep.
I found myself listening and wishing I had the opportunity to work for Vikas. Well, Vikas, if you're listening, Susan Watts wants a job. Give us a call. We'll put you in touch. But she's right. I mean, you know, his leadership style came across so clearly in that interview. But more than that, the fact that someone listened to a leader of an organization and said, that is the type of person that I want to be with. She heard his lessons. She understood his character. That's wonderful. Another one for Diana. Two words from Deborah of Friednesh or Friednesh. Love it.
Yes.
There you go. And here's one from one of our guests, so Bill Guy. So William Guy, he's following us. Bill, I know that you're listening or watching this. So thank you for being a guest. Thank you for helping us launch this thing as one of our first guests. But Bill has a comment here, and I want to discuss this with you. I hope this borrowed wisdom, he says, I hope this borrowed wisdom helps others in the knowledge they need to make the world a better place. Now, I love that comment.
Wow.
One, because of the humility, and two, because he's so spot on. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And what I've heard from, and I'd like to also pose this to you, Diana, but what I've heard, and Jeff and Seba can elaborate before you answer, what I've heard from a lot of guests that we've had is, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity as a guest to put my thoughts down, to consolidate the things that I truly believe in, or at least 10 of the things I truly believe in. Gentlemen, what do you think before Diana answers?
Jeff, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So many of my guests, for them, it's the first time they've actually sat down, took stock of their life, reflected on their life, and is able to give back, you know, the wisdom that they garnered from their lives. And certainly, I think through the experience, they enjoyed it immensely because they realized that this, like you said, Rob, was something that we were truly, truly passionate about. And I see that flow through so many of these episodes. You know, there are certainly lessons that me personally resonate very, very strongly, as it took me the same amount of time to learn, you know, and all throughout this whole experience, I'd be listening to episodes and telling myself, kicking myself, thinking, God, I wish I knew this 20 years ago. And I guess in some respects, you know, that is the reason why we're all doing this, because we all wish we knew this. And somebody listening out there actually are getting it 20 years before they would have otherwise learned some of this stuff. So that is why we're doing this.
I fully agree, Jeffrey, with what you're saying. I've had multiple guests that after the recording came back and said, that was a good exercise for me, for them as a guest. And one individual I have to think of, I actually recorded the podcast while he was on a yacht in the Mediterranean on a Saturday afternoon. He was out on vacation with his family and he made an effort to be the guest. But what really stuck with me is that afterwards, and again, I'm thinking, well, this is now, you know, well into the evening in the Mediterranean in Europe. He sent me an email message expressing exactly what we're talking about, how helpful it was to him and how much he enjoyed thinking about his 10 lessons. Because we can say, oh, 10 lessons, that's easy. Okay. How many do you need? 20, 30? But if you really sit down and say, okay, I'm going to present this to the world as we do, yes, it takes some time. You want to think it through. And it comes back. And that, in a way, came as a surprise to many of us as something that they appreciate. We appreciate it. The audience appreciates it. But the guest typically appreciates that as well. And that was a very nice additional benefit that we got out of it.
Now, we've all been guests on this, and audience, you haven't heard Jeff or my episode because they're coming. But Diana, as a guest, how did those 10 lessons make you feel when you had to put them down? How did you feel doing that?
Well, it was easy to come up with the lessons. They're more mantras for me than lessons. So it was easy to come up with them. I will tell you, when I left retail and I went into this new path, new career, we had a guest that talked about you'll have several careers in your lifetime, right?
Yeah.
When I went into this new career, it put me in the spotlight a little bit. And I'd been interviewed on the news. I'd been on other podcasts, so many different things. And man, it was cringeworthy. I didn't even want to look at it. I didn't want to hear it again. Let's just get this over with. And one, it makes a difference that SIBA made me so comfortable. But when I went back to review it again, the narcissist that I am, because I have to look at it several times, right? One of the things that I realized is my confidence, my demeanor, it all came from the fact that I truly, truly believe in and abide by those rules. I wasn't making anything up. That was my life. That is me. Those examples were from my real life, and it was so easy and it was so comfortable. And I don't cringe when I watch or listen to my episode, because it is, I think, the truest reflection of me that I've ever seen to date. So it was powerful in one sense to be outside of myself and look at that person on the screen and say, wow, she truly does have something to impart. And that confidence can't be taken away once given. So I love it.
That's wonderful. That is what we're all about. And you're right. Your episode was wonderful. You, the rest of our guests, are authentic. And that's what we do. We talk to, as SIBA put it at the very first episode, we're going to talk to interesting people about their interesting experiences, and that's what we're doing. There's no sales gurus who are going to show you techniques and tricks and tips. They're going to tell you, as Jeff said, what you should know and what you wished you would have known when you were younger. Oh, look, thank you, Diana. Thank you, everyone. That was really, really good. I want to move on to questions that were posed to us, but before we get to there, I personally am curious. I'm going to ask you to limit your answers to maybe one. Out of the 50 episodes we've done, can you name a lesson so far, because I'm sure there's going to be others that'll displace it, but so far that has just made you go, wow, and that you have implemented? Not just something that you went, oh, that's clever, but that you have implemented. Now, just to give you some time to think, I will start off. There's a lot of them, and I'm not saying this because you're there, Diana. I'm saying this because it's true. I've been in business for 40 years. I still consider myself a sales professional. I was taught how to listen when I sell. I was taught how to listen for buying signals. That's not what you said. You said listen for comprehension and empathy. And that made me stop and look at what I was doing and going, I am not listening to people. I am trying to sell them something. That's what I was taught to do. So thank you, Diana. I now listen for comprehension. I listen to understand what is being said to me and not what I can use against you to sell you something I want. So that to me, so far, there's been a lot of great lessons, but that's one of the top on my list that I have implemented. So I just want to say that publicly. So I got your ball rolling. Let's point a finger. SIBA, you're next.
Well, what a way to start. We're talking roughly 500 lessons, right? So
true.
Which one? And when you say which one do you want to adopt and make a change in your life, I have to think of our guest Ori Eisen. And one of his lessons was taking proper vacations is a must.
Oh, yes.
And to be honest, that sounds right. That makes sense. It's something that I would tell people and consistently. But to tell you the truth, I haven't been on vacation for more than 2 years. And I'm fine. I'm not worried. I'm right. But if you think about that, that's why I bring it up. If you think about what you really should take a break, it's not just, you know, okay, it's time. I have to take up so many weeks per year. No, you really have to reserve time. And when I spoke with Ori Eisen about that during the podcast as well, he made the point to me that this is not just, hey, it sounds good, just, you know, take a break. You have to include that. And that's something that I told my wife, we're going to do. We're going to take a vacation.
Excellent.
I'll bite. Banish psychic vampires.
Yeah.
So this is this is one of the earlier lessons from Andre Alfonso. This is probably at the start of the journey. And I can't agree with it enough. I mean, you realize that, you know, the amount of time that each of us have is finite.
Yeah.
And we have to choose where we spend, you know, who we spend our time with. What I've learned from that lesson is to surround myself with so many good people that I just don't have time for bad people. And it's incredible what it's done for me personally in my mental health, in my, just my well-being. And it's interesting when you're somebody that's surrounded by good people, you tend to attract other good people.
True.
I can't stress enough how much is actually done for me in terms of just my life. But yeah, that was one lesson that really stood out from the beginning. That said, there was so many different lessons that I resonated strongly with, but it's the one that really made me change my behavior.
And Diana, we're putting you on the spot. Well, you've just joined us. We said, here's 50 episodes. Go listen to them and tell us what you want.
Hey, that's okay. I actually have one. But really quickly, I want to go back to Robert, what you said about listening for comprehension and empathy. And I want to give you a really quick example. It's the difference between saying, I heard you say you're in pain. I have an aspirin. And I feel your pain. I've had that pain. Mm-hmm. And if you trust me, maybe try this, because I tried it and it worked. That's the difference between the two, right? So I will tell you, in this lesson, it resonated with me for several reasons. So it was the Brad Casper episode. And I'll give you a little background really quickly. I am a New York girl. I was born and raised in the Bronx. I've only been in Arizona for 19, 20 years. and I'm a lot older than I look. So I've been here a while and I was raised there for a while, right? And when I was growing up, there were no classes, there were no people that were telling my pocket of the community how you should invest, how you should handle your money. You know, what are stocks? What is this world about? And it wasn't until I started working for Barnes & Noble in Manhattan that I would talk to customers and find out what they were reading and why they were reading it. And I had a gentleman talk to me about stock. And he said, listen, it's a good investment. If you don't know how to read financials and figure out a company's fiscal health, then start with products and services that you know and love and use, because chances are if you love them, other people love them. And if you invest a little bit of money in that and then learn along the way how to start to read a company's financial health, then you can be a good investor. And my first stock ever was Dial Soap. And so when I listened to Brad's podcast, it was just full circle for me, because I did not know this man was connected to this in any way, shape, or form. And then he starts spouting this wisdom. And one of the things that just stuck with me, because I see it in my life almost every day, is leadership is not a title. Yeah. That was the biggest one. You can have a person in a room that has every title and every, letter and acronym after their name. And there'll be someone else that doesn't have anything, but they exude leadership qualities.
Yep.
People gravitate towards them. That is what has happened to me throughout my life. And to this day, I will still be in a room. I did a podcast one time years ago. The soundbite that she used was me being glib and saying something to the effect of, why are you bothering me about this? I'm sitting here trying to eat my bagel, you know? Can I just eat my bagel, please? But that is the thing. People can sense when someone isn't afraid to take charge or to give advice or to help chip in to make a solution, right? And I got chills when he said it, because I said, that is so true. That is my life. And it's not even something I have to implement. It's on me. It's being impressed upon me just about every day. So that's my takeaway.
That's great. I don't think any of us would disagree with anything that any of us have just said. Because I think, Jeff, you said it, these are all powerful, powerful lessons that we got out there. And there's more to come, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more wonderful guests, more academics, more great, successful business people, more journalists, more authors, all of this to come. So make sure you do subscribe to us and keep sending in these comments, keep talking to us, and we will respond. I would like to finish up now just by posing some of the questions that we received from our audience regarding some of our episodes. These aren't very flowery and very complimentary, but they do deserve an answer. So this one is for Siba. It's actually for you, Siba. It's for your episode. And Ralph Joseph asks, how do I get over it when I keep getting knocked back for job interviews? LinkedIn is full of motivational posts about not giving up. It's not that easy to get over it. I try, but it's hard with every knockback. And this is from your lesson, get over it. Don't create mental barriers for yourself. Now, before you answer, I'm going to say to Ralph, I think you've misunderstood the lesson, Ralph. I don't believe that Siba just said, get over it. You forgot the second part of that. Don't create mental barriers for yourself. And you have, obviously, well, I can't say that. It looks like you may have created these mental barriers for yourself. And that's what's dragging you down every time you get a knockback. But that's my take on it. Siba.
You want the short answer or the medium?
We're running out of time, so let's go with a short answer.
Get over it.
Hard enough.
Or what part of get over it didn't you get? Now, I do want to add, one of my lessons when I was interviewed, don't judge until you understand. And I do want to make that inclusive with get over it, because I don't know this individual. I don't want to judge people. And many people are in a tough situation financially, job-wise. So for me to say to everyone, you know, oh, just get over it, that's of course not what I have in mind. So I appreciate you talk about don't create mental barriers. But if you think about a job search situation, and it is frustrating, especially when you go through interviews and you don't get the job, especially if you go to multiple interviews and you don't get the job, that is tough. Mm. It hurts. It hurts like hell.
Yeah.
At the same time, for me as a recruiter and trying to be supportive, I have to tell people to get over it. Perhaps you were not the right fit for that job. Perhaps you didn't present yourself in the right way. There are ways to make adjustments, and that's part of getting over it. It doesn't mean forget about it, but what can you do the next time to be more successful? And there could be so many elements, and that's not something we want to get into right now. But the important part is, I think, when you have whatever level of failure, yes, you can be upset, and rightly so, and talk to your family members about that. But preferably the following day, back to normal. Yes. If you have success and you are in business and you have a great success transaction, yes, you celebrate and you enjoy that, again, with your family and your colleagues, but the following day, get back to normal, because you're supposed to be successful and you will run into situations where, unfortunately, you're not successful. So here I go, don't lose hope, but ultimately, and I learned this in a way, the tough way, get over it. But I mean it in a constructive way. Thank you.
No, you do, and I think that's a great answer. Look, we've got a few, but we are running out of time, so I'm going to go jump straight into the one for you, Diana, because I think this is an important one. So Gerald Garrard has emailed us saying, giving ultimatums at work isn't a good idea. This advice is pretty radical. Now, he was talking about your lesson, be prepared to walk away and be prepared that no one will stop you. I think he, again, like Ralph, I think he has misunderstood your lesson.
I feel like it's very rare that somebody misunderstands, right? They hear something from their own prism, their own lens.
Good point.
So they understood it, right? But they understood it from their own life experiences. And from my life experiences, what I have discovered is if, first of all, everybody is disposable. Everybody. I mean, I really hate to say this, but there's never going to be a time where you say, oh, how will we go on without this person, right? There's somebody else to take your place, right? And so if you're in a situation in the workplace where we spend so much time, where things are not ideal for you personally, for whether it doesn't align with your own values, whatever the case may be, you have the opportunity to talk to someone, right? First, you talk it out. I'm not saying that you say, oh, this is for the birds, let me just pack it up, take my stapler and go. Try to have a conversation. But if you know that nothing's going to change and you're still going to be feeling the same way, you need to take action. And the action is not going to be change or I'm walking, because 9 times out of 10, they're going to help you pack your bag and help you tie your shoelaces, right? What this is you have to be responsible for your own decisions and your own life and your own happiness and fulfillment. And if that means that you need to make a plan A through Z, if this doesn't work out, then prepare, make your plan. But don't use your job or your relationship or your money or your power as leverage, because it won't work. Even if it works at that moment, it's not sustainable.
That is so true. Look, ladies and gentlemen, life is a choice. You choose every path you take. It's your choice. It's within your power. I know that some of you would say, oh, but Rob, you know, this is outside of my control. It's a choice. Once you understand it's a choice, you can then choose the path you want to be on. Now, it mightn't be a good path, I'll grant you that. You mightn't have the wherewithal, you mightn't have the resources to be on the best path, but it's a path you choose, and that is something. That's a start. So I agree with you, Diana. Look, we could talk for hours. I think we come to the end of our time. I do want to respond to a tweet from Solomon the Wise, regarding Alan Kilfoyle's episode and his lesson, You Can Recover. Solomon the Wise says, can you recover from everything? Yes, Solomon, you can. A lot of our guests, including probably one of my favorites, Andrew Tyndale's lesson, this too shall pass. Nothing lasts forever, buddy. It's going to go away, and you will have to make a choice to either let it affect you for the rest of your life or let it go. So with that, I would like to thank you all for participating today. I'd like to thank our audience for supporting us and being there for us. You can be there for us even more by subscribing to our YouTube channel, subscribing to our podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can be there for us by leaving us reviews, leaving us comments. Keep sending us these emails. And so before we sign off, one final thought from everybody.
Well, if I can start here, it's a great exercise for us who are putting this together, the podcast. It sounds like our guests appreciate that. But I also think, how do you say that? The best is yet to come. We are in our first year. We have excitement. We have plans for the future to expand it. And I hope, of course, our listeners will continue to support us. The numbers are steadily going up. We know that the analytics are there, but we still have ways to go. And I hope that our audience, our listeners, will help us by giving suggestions, ideas, and perhaps even refer us to future guests. Why not? We're open, right? This is not political. It's not commercial. We want to talk, you know, Robert, you said it best, to interesting people about their interesting experiences.
Jeff.
I'm just happy to be here. That's all I got.
Thank you, Diana.
Well, look, I'm not all that different. I'm just happy to come along for the ride. You know, for me, I've just learned tons from our guests, from our fellow hosts. There is just so much to wisdom that there is to know, you know, and part of it is learning new things, but other part is actually just to confirm the things that we've already known to be true. I think sometimes it's good to get that confirmation from somebody that you respect, from somebody that we consider as wise. What I'm really excited about is going forward, we're going to be talking to even more people from all sorts of interesting places, you know, as we've discovered that wisdom could be found in the most unusual places. Yeah. And I like to continually challenge my own blind spots to understand and grapple with this world a little bit better, you know. So I hope to be a little bit wiser, lesson by lesson, and look forward to this journey ahead.
That's great. And I'd like to thank our supporter for this entire season, the Professional Development Forum. Without your help, without your support, and without your resources, we would not be 50 episodes in. So thank you, PDF. And I encourage you all to go and visit PDF at theprofessionaldevelopmentforum.org and see what they're offering and join them. Join their mailing list. Everything they offer is free and it will help the upcoming executives of the next generation. So thank you again for your support on that, PDF. And with that, I would like to again thank our audience on behalf of the entirety. Without you, we probably would have stopped 10 episodes into this series, but you encouraged us. You kept listening, you kept writing, and we want you to keep doing that. And with that, I would like to say thank you and see you at the next episode of 10 Lessons It Took Me 50 Years to Learn.